It's time for Deputy Leader Fletcher Tabateau from the New Zealand First Party.
Well, I suppose for all of us it's slightly different. For example, I was in Wellington yesterday and the day before and in the Wellington office just trying to come to terms with all the correspondence over the break and, you know, try and get on top of all of this. But
what sort of correspondence do you get?
From people, you know, businesses, personal, you know, people who have problems and issues who think either I personally can help or someone from New Zealand First, you know, that
right.
that kind of thing. And, yeah, so making sure we're on top of that.
And then any sort of briefings and that kind of thing?
Yep. So, you know, part of my year will be, part of my big commitment this year will be New Zealand First, but this government's commitment to the Pacific. So I'm going to Aussie actually this week, mainly for regional economic development, but also to talk to the Australians about the Pacific. And then the week after, I'm actually going into the Pacific, start talking with, you know, political leaders around the Pacific. So yeah, it's quite a big, start to the year for me.
Yeah. So what would be, you know, how could you maybe define in a few sentences what the aim is with the Pacific? Is it just, you know, building those ties more or you know, working together, that kind of thing?
Yeah. So Winston's message last year when he came in was about open, honest, kind of the word friendship was in there, and a relationship of equals. So we've got to make sure that, you know, they come to New Zealand a lot, they go to Aussie a lot, but we've got to make sure that we're going to them, seeing them on their home turf and understanding what their issues are. You know, you ask what New Zealand First is doing. Well, Ron Marks is the Minister of Defence, and part of his big program certainly started in November, December when he released the paper on the our Defence Force commitment to the environment and some of the big issues that means for New Zealand in terms of, you know, vessels going into the Pacific. People don't realise they're mainly our military vehicles.
Right.
You know, our fleet is a military fleet. So what kind of commitment do we need there, for example, when, unfortunately, we can say now, unfortunately, when the big cyclones invariably hit, as, you know, the extremes of the weather continue to increase.
So, yeah, what is it that the military fleets do is that when they're responding to disasters?
Yeah. So New Zealand's commitment to the Pacific normally is actually through our military in terms of personnel deployed on the ground to help with reconstruction, rebuilds. I don't want to underplay private and the NGO community, but a lot of what the government immediately does is through the military. So, you know, I've been into one of our Auckland warehouses where we have packs kind of ready to go for deployment, you know, when something like this happens. And so Ron, for example, has got a big discussion paper on what does that look like, what does that commitment mean for the military, and what are we going to spend our money on as our military, our defence force evolves, and it's probably going to evolve more around support in our immediate Pacific region.
Isn't it problematic that we are the ones providing that support, whereas shouldn't we be kind of working towards those islands being able to, well, shouldn't we be working to support them to be able to do these things and have their own strength in that?
Yeah, and I kind of love the way you're thinking, because that's what we're thinking too. So that is essentially my job, and it's a real challenge though, right? Because what resources do you have in terms of natural resources, people on the ground? You know, sometimes it's just the population is so small. So you have to, that's exactly what I'm working on over the next couple of years, with a big focus on that. This year we, for example, have signed something called the PACER Plus with the Pacific Islands, where it's a trade deal, but it's probably the only trade deal in the world where actually New Zealand and Australia are more focused about how we help the Pacific Islands rather than ourselves in the deal, you know, and that's all about capacity building. And then at the same time, Winston got a lot of flack for increasing our aid budget, but what we're going to do there is help island nations build capacity. So like you say, ideally the measure of success is how are they best able to deal with it themselves in the long run. And in the long run, that means less of a financial commitment for New Zealand, but it means our island neighbours are able to kind of do it for themselves. Imagine the pride and the power in that.
And not necessarily to just leave them on their own, but to be working together as equals, as opposed to, I mean, we do have a long history of taking a lot from the Pacific as well. So is this our sort of way of trying to give back?
Yeah. We certainly, the focus is around not just trade, so I called it a trade deal, but in that we go, well, how do we actually build capacity, say, of their customs facilities, of their or of their businesses who want to trade with New Zealand but don't meet the, you know, the standards for trade? You know, how do we build capacity? How do we help them with that? And actually, how do we open up opportunities around the world for them? So, and we're trying to draw in a lot of the world's big players, like the US, Britain, Japan, China, you know, to come in and be part of the solution. Never forgetting Australia is a big part of that as well.
Yeah, what is Australia's role in this?
Yeah, so we kind of seem to have, this is my personal take on it, we seem to have like different areas where different countries have kind of, I don't know, seems to be more influence, more sway, kind of more relationships. But we all try and work across the Pacific, and Australia spends a lot of money in the Pacific in terms, just like we do, in terms of helping with developing infrastructure, you know, building, rebuilding. One of the big things that I personally like that we do, which Australia does as well, is actually training like government staff members, officials, so that they build capacity around you know, what good government looks like, what transparency is like, what open government looks like, and things like that, and all the while building good practice whilst, you know, giving a real fundamental skill set to government officials around the Pacific. It's really, so there's a lot of things in a different, in so many different ways that we help out, and Australia has a very similar program.
And you mentioned the regional economic growth to do with Australia, is that correct?
Yeah. So when I was in opposition with New Zealand First, one of the big things I was working on was the regional economic development package. And so that turned into the $1 billion fund. And so we're doing amazing things there. But some of that work arose from the work that the state of Victoria is doing in Australia. So I'm taking some of our senior officials over, and we're engaging with them to see kind of where they're at now, because they've been running for a few years. You know, what does it look like? What could it possibly look like for us in the future? It's easy now because everyone's coming to us saying, here's an amazing project that will help our Māori population grow jobs, build our community, grow our region again. So that's cool. And at the moment, relatively easy to do. But what does that look like in a few years? And the state of Victoria's got to that space. So I'm going over, taking some of our team over and having those conversations and hopefully learning from their experience. You look around the world and see what other places are doing. And, you know, we, if you remember, we campaigned on the regions and we said we can't just be apathetic and let the whole country move to Auckland one day. What can we do now to put a line in the sand and say, no, this country's strong because of our regions, because of our provinces? How do we make that stronger? And definitely look to Australia. And so it's quite hard for us as well because, you know, we get accused of throwing money around, but that's absolutely not the case. You know, we have all of our officials behind the scenes working incredibly hard with the people in the provinces. So actually there has to be a sound financial or economic argument for what it is we're doing. There have to be real projects. People can't think that we're just going to give money away kind of thing. So there has to be something happening. For example, just before Christmas I announced nearly $1 million for Southland, and a lot of that was to help Invercargill. They want to redevelop their inner city, and the council and a lot of private investors are willing to spend a lot of money. And so all I was doing was saying, well, here's a few $100,000 to make sure that when that money's spent, and if that big decision is finally made, how do we make sure that other businesses and we can make money in other ways for Invercargill going into the future. So there's a lot of those kind of things going on all the time, which is really exciting.
That was Deputy Leader Fletcher Tabateau from the New Zealand First Party.